Oh, good morning, brethren and friends. If you're visiting with us, thank you so much for being here. We certainly appreciate your presence, and we hope and pray that we'll be able to encourage you in some way as we all strive to worship in spirit and in truth this morning. I'd like to ask you to please turn open your Bibles, your New Testaments, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's where we're going to be for the majority of our time this morning. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8. 1 through 8. I want to begin by asking you a question. Have you been baptized for the remission, the release of your sins? If you have, great. But let me tell you something. That is only the beginning of your relationship with God. That's only the beginning of us being Christians, accepting God's free gift of salvation. It's not the time to sit back. It's not the time to become complacent. Brethren, it's not the time to claim complete victory if one of our family members or perhaps one of our children or our teenagers become Christians. It's not the end. It's not the time to know that we're going to have a complete victory over all sin and temptation. Absolutely not. The time when we become Christians, that is the beginning. That is the time to begin your journey of growth and purity, not the time to sit back. And that's exactly what Paul is talking to the Thessalonians about in chapter 4. It's what we're going to talk about this morning. We've been looking through Proverbs chapter 4, looking about how to keep a pure heart before God. We've looked at a lot of different things between Russ and I in the Wednesday invitations, but may I add one more at the close of this month and our theme of keeping our hearts pure. If you would, please read with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's read verses 1 through 8 together. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the name of the Lord Jesus that as you received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you may excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things. Just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Consequently, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. I want you to look back at verse 1, verse 2, and verse 4. I kind of call them the you know statements. In verse 1, Paul is saying to these Christians, as you receive from us instruction. He's saying, we've already taught you these things. You should know these things. Now I'm trying to remind you again. Verse 2, for you know what commandments we gave you. Verse 4, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. I understand everybody this morning sitting here is not aware of all things of Scriptures. We have some that are just recently become Christians, some that have not been Christians for very long, some that have been Christians for a very long time. So wherever you're at this morning, whether this is new to you and you're being told for the first time through Paul's words to the Holy Spirit, or you've been a Christian for years, then may the words of Paul do now what they did then, and that is remind you of the things that you already know to remain pure. Because I guarantee you, brethren, we will not make it to heaven unless we strive to grow. We strive to know more about the Word of God, how we can apply it to our lives, how we can keep a pure heart. Without a pure heart, we will be judged, and the result will not be heaven. We have to do everything we can to grow and keep pure hearts before God. I have 3 points for you this morning. I want to look through 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And I want to look at three things, three applications I believe Paul gives to those in Thessalonica. And in fact, he is giving us today to try to help us to be pure-hearted Christians, putting God first. The first one in our outline together is this. We are called, brethren, we are called to be set apart. This is the basis for everything we're going to talk about for the rest of our lesson, for everything that Paul is setting up here. That we, as Christians, the day that we obeyed the gospel, we repented of our sins, we obeyed the gospel, we were immersed in water, God called us to be set apart. Paul repeats it three different times, 3, 4, and 7, verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. The will of God is that you be sanctified, you be set apart. Verse 4, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. And then in verse 7, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. What is this word, sanctification? It means that we are made holy by God when we become Christians. That we are set apart from this world. We are now holy when we were not. What God is saying is that you were in the ugliness of sin of the world. When you became my child, I set you apart from the ugliness of your past, the ugliness of your sins, and now I have made you washed, clean, and holy, and I'm ready to use you in my service. That's what it means to be set apart from the world. All of us this morning that are Christians, God sets you apart from the world. So are we following up and keeping pure hearts? Think about that again. God took sin off of us, made us clean. He wants to use us. He wants us to be good examples, light, salt. He wants to use us in the community, use us in our homes, use us in the body of Christ. But then what happens? Often we, with our impure heart, allow sin back in our life. We become complacent about being Christians. We don't put God first, and then we have made ourselves dirty again in the eyes of God. Paul says it three different times in these 8 verses. You know that God set you apart. Remain sanctified. Remain in honor of God. Be useful to God is what he's saying. He's saying, I need you Christians to excel still more than you already are. That's what it's all about. Growth. Wherever you're at today, that's fine. But let's make sure to excel past today. That we read the words of Paul, we read the words of Christ, and we do what we're supposed to cleanse our hearts and make sure we are usable by God. Thinking through all of this set apart and this sanctification, it reminds me of looking back at the Old Testament. Would you look with me in Leviticus chapter 8? Leviticus chapter 8. I just kind of want to take a look. Another example to really impact us of what it should mean for us to look different, for us to be set apart from the sins and the ugliness of the world. And if we look at Leviticus chapter 8, it calls to mind all of the commands that God gave to Moses just for men to become priests. Look with me in Leviticus chapter 8. Let's begin reading verses 1 through 6, and we'll skip around a little bit. Verses 1 through 6, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments and the anointing oil and the bull of the sin offering, the 2 rams and the basket of unleavened bread, and assemble all the congregation at the doorway of the tent of meeting. So Moses did just as the Lord commanded him. When the congregation was assembled at the doorway of the tent of meeting, Moses said to the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded to do. Then Moses had Aaron and his sons come near and washed them with water. He put the tunic on him and girded him in the sash and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod on him, girded him with the artistic band of the ephod with which he tied it to him. We go on to verses 8 and 9. It talks all about how they are to be clothed, sanctified. All right, continue in verse 10 there with me. Moses then took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it, and consecrated them. And he sprinkled some on the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all its utensils and the basin and its stand to consecrate them. Then he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Read finally verses 14 and 15 with me. Then he brought the bull of the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull of the sin offering. Next, Moses slaughtered it and took the blood and with his finger put some of it around the horns of the altar and purified the altar. Then he poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make atonement for it. I find 2 things very interesting, looking back even underneath the old law. In verse 6, what is one of the things that must be done to consecrate these priests? Washing with water. Verse 15, there was blood to make atonement for. Sounds kind of familiar, right? That we have water in the New Testament that we are supposed to be immersed in. And because of Jesus' blood, it makes atonement for our sins. But it doesn't just stop there. Look at all the things that we just read that have to happen to consecrate them. Look in chapter 21 with me. Leviticus chapter 21. Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, 'No one shall defile himself for a dead person among his people.'" This is talking about the priest. "Except for his relatives who are nearest to him, his mother and his father and his sons and his daughter and his brother. Also for his virgin sister who is near to him because she had no husband. For her, he may defile himself." Verse 4. Notice these specific lists of things to consecrate the priest. "He shall not defile himself as a relative." Verse 5, "They shall not make any baldness on their heads, nor shave off the edges of their beard, nor make any cuts in their flesh." Verse 6, "They shall be holy to God and not profane the name of their Lord." Verse 7, "They shall not take a woman." Verse 8, "You shall consecrate him, therefore, for he offers the bread of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I, the Lord who sanctifies you, am holy." All of these things had to happen to the priests to consecrate them, to set them apart, to make them holy. To what? To make them useful to God. Now, I'm not trying to bind any old law on us today and these things we don't have to do. But don't shrug off all the things that had to be done to make the priest holy and act like we don't have anything to do today. As New Testament Christians, we see that we are very much like these priests that needed to be holy and consecrated for Christ in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. "But you are a chosen race." That's talking about us. Those of us who are children of God, Christians, we're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Notice that. "So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul." Are you pure-hearted this morning? Have you been working on it this month as we've been talking about it? Are you allowing sin through your eyes, through your ears, out your mouth? Is it residing in your mind? Where is your heart? We're not in the Old Testament, but we're still seen as a priesthood, a people that are supposed to remain pure and ready for God to use us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves. Also in all your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" How are we doing this month, brethren, at trying to put away past sins? Are we just listening to a bunch of sermons, a bunch of classes, a bunch of invitations being extended about being holy, being pure, putting away former lust, putting away past sins of our old man? And saying, yeah, that's a good idea, but you don't understand my life. You don't understand my struggles, my temptations. Paul says, you Christians, you need to excel more than you already have. Wherever you're at, that's great, but grow. Grow in Christ. Grow in your faith. Grow to make your heart pure. Put away the things of the past. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. Love the words in the description in these verses. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. How are we doing at purifying our hearts for God? You know, you might think, well, no big deal. I mean, yeah, I know I'm not supposed to sin. I know I'm not supposed to give in to my temptations. But I mean, I always have God in prayer and in Jesus. I always have the blood to cleanse me as long as I come back in repentance. Yes, yes, you do. But I just want you to think about just for a moment what we've just read. I want you to think about that God wants to use you. He wants to use me. But there's something that you and I can do to make us completely useless. Useless to God and being in His service. If anyone cleanses himself, are you cleansing yourself from temptation? Are you cleansing yourself from sins? We're not going to be perfect. I'm certainly not. But where's our heart? Where is our mind? Or to be used to honor, to be set apart, to be useful for the master. How can we be useful? How can we excel at being a Christian? Have a pure heart. That's what we need to be about doing. That's the first principle that I see as we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul reminds these Christians, wherever you are at, excel. Have a pure heart. Have a pure mind. And then he gets more specific as he goes through the rest of these eight verses. The second principle that I see that we need to address and that Paul addresses, and in verse 3, it says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality." Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Read with me, if you would, in Galatians 5, verses 16 through 21. 16 through 21. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident." Notice these, please. "The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality." Okay, now I want you to just take note of verses 20 and 21, and let's go back to 19. Verse 20. These are deeds of the flesh. "Idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I think if most of us were going to have a conversation out in the lobby, out in town, I think all of us are willing to say, yeah, verse 20 and 21, obviously. Obviously, if you're worshiping idols, you will not get the kingdom of God. You won't remain a child of God. Yeah, if you're worshiping idols, you're not going to be in heaven. Of course, we get that. Sorcery, jealousy. If you're a jealous person all the time and your heart is wanting other people's things, of course, we understand that's something bad. We understand it's bad to envy. We understand it's bad for those to remain in drunkenness over and over again. We get these things. But how many people want to write out verse 19? Some of you use New King James versions. I'm going to read mine again, then I'm going to read the New King James. In New American Standard, it says immorality, impurity, sensuality. New King James, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Does that sound pure to you? Doesn't sound pure to me. That's why Paul addresses it. People don't want to talk about these things today. Maybe it's awkward to say, awkward to listen to. Maybe you don't want to talk about it because it's too personal. And maybe for some of you this morning, in this topic of Paul saying that we must remain sexually pure, maybe you're thinking, I don't need to hear this. I have no problem with this. I have no temptation. There's nothing in my life that I'm trying to battle. But you know what? There's plenty of people that are probably in this room and outside this building that are struggling with this on a monthly basis, perhaps a weekly and daily basis. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean that people don't have temptations. But what Paul is saying is that now you're a Christian. If you weren't pure, start being pure. If you were pure and went back to your old lust, grow. Get back to being pure, because if you're not being pure, you're not being useful to God. You're not setting yourself apart from sin into Christ. You're just being just like the world. You're not remaining pure. These are things that we need to focus on. Things that we need to consider that are said in Galatians 5, that are said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, again, just like any sin that any of us are struggling with, it's never easy. So please don't take that into account when I bring up my next point. I'm using the word simple, not as in that it's simple for you to overcome sin, that it's simple for me to go against temptations. But what I do mean is we don't need to make things so hard in our lives. Temptations can be overcome. Remaining pure can be in our lives. That's something we can attain if we'll just follow God's simple rules. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13? Hebrews chapter 13. I want to read some passages with you and just ask you to consider this morning that if this is a temptation for you in any way, that there are some simple steps you can take to overcome by the word of God. Hebrews chapter 13 and 4 says, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers God will judge." Beginning point here is one of these simple steps that we can all take to cleanse ourselves from temptations, especially in talking about sexually pure. Do not be immoral before or during marriage. The same principle is going to apply. I don't care if you're 50 this morning, 60 this morning. I don't care if you're 15 or 16. Hear the words of God. If you're married or you're not married, listen to the words of God. It says that there should be no sexual relationship except for in marriage. But even within marriage, we can defile ourselves. I want to read Proverbs chapter 5. I could go on and say things, make descriptions, but I would just prefer for us to read the Word of God. Because in Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 through 20, it is very clear about our mindset, whether in marriage or out of marriage. It's very clear about our lust, about our temptations. And if we'll just read the words of God, instead of relying on ourselves and our knowledge, we can defeat our temptations. Proverbs chapter 5, again, verses 15 through 20. Drink water from your own cistern and fresh water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be yours alone and not for your strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. As a loving hind and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love. For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? I'll add verse 21. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. Simply put, if you're a young teenager, you're in college, you're not married yet. You're older and you're not married. Keep yourself pure. The world that we live in does not tell you this. It tells you that you do whatever you want to in marriage. If it isn't working out, then you can keep that marriage, but you can have your fun on the side. That's not what God says. We have all kind of laws passed that make a lot of things legal, but not in the eyes of God. One of those happened this week, and there's many other we could talk about. We don't need to talk about all that. All we need to talk about is keeping ourselves pure, and that's all that matters. Our culture, our society says do whatever you want before marriage, during marriage. I don't care what your friends say. I don't care what our government says. I care what God says, and He says keep yourself, keep myself pure, sexually pure, or we are not useful for Him. We are not excelling in our growth, and we're not useful for Him again. I want to keep saying that to put that in our minds this morning. Do not be immoral before or after. There are steps that we can all take to keep ourselves and our hearts and our minds away from that. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to do that? If you want a pure heart before God, you better make sure that you're thinking about it beforehand. First simple rule, keep yourself pure. Don't do what you may want to in the flesh. Don't do what your society and your friends tell you is okay. And secondly, do not even think about it, Jesus says. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 20. I love looking at the Old Testament bringing forth to the New Testament. Because Jesus is saying, you have heard these things from the Old Testament. Let me add another one to you. Are you a person that loves God? That you're following me? That'd be Jesus as he's saying these things. Then you've heard these things. Now you also add this. Verse 27, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. Notice this. But I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. In your place of work, wherever that is, whether it be ladies or men, we all have ungodly people that talk about a lot of ungodly things. Look at the opposite sex. Make comments. You know what happens when we spend too much time thinking on something, whether good or bad? Our actions will eventually follow what we've been seeing, what we've been thinking. That's the way it goes. Mark, this morning in our home study in the adult class, he's talking about how much time children spend in front of the television. And how perhaps they should spend a little bit more time in front of their parents and talking out things. I agree. Because the more that we think on things, we will act on them. So you might say to yourself, whether you're 16 years old or 60, I'm just looking. I'm just appreciating somebody of the opposite sex. Okay, I understand that there are beautiful people, but let's just watch how we appreciate those. Are you noticing somebody that's passing you that happens to be a beautiful person? Or are you taking the second or the third glance, staring, contemplating things in your mind, wishing things in your mind? Because Jesus says, do not do that. Do not look upon her in a certain way, because if you do that, you might as well have already actually committed adultery. Why? Because our actions follow our mind. It's pretty easy to get away with this because people don't know what's in our minds. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if anybody in this room knows what's going through your mind. God knows, and that's all that matters. Is your heart pure? Are you keeping yourself sexually pure in heart, in mind? Again, that's not what our culture is going to tell you, but it's what God tells us. For those that perhaps are teenagers or young adults, please never make this rule in your heart and in your mind. Well, as long as we don't go too far. Does that sound pure? That I will take it to a certain point. You know what's going to happen if you allow yourself to go to a certain point? Probably and most likely going to give in to your entices, into the temptation. But you know there's something we can do about that as well. If we'll just have a mind more like Job. In Job 31 and 1, he says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? See, Job didn't say to himself, well, I'll figure it out when I have the temptation in front of me. I'll wait until some beautiful lady is in front of me, and then I'll make the decision to be pure or maybe give in to my temptations. Job said, I have made, that is, I have pre-planned. Before the event ever crosses my eyes, I have planned with myself. I have made a covenant with myself that no matter what, I will not give in to that temptation. I will not gaze at somebody of the opposite sex. Paul says, from God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that we are, as God's people, to remain pure, and that includes being sexually pure. May I give you a third and final application that I see that Paul gives the Christians at Thessalonica? He tells us, and verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, each of you know how to possess his own vessel or our bodies in sanctification and honor. Turn with me, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul is telling them that your bodies are not to be used in just any way for your own entices, your own temptations. You are to use your body to be pure so that you're set apart from the world to be used by God. 1 Corinthians 6. Would you read with me verses 12 through 20? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. But God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a harlot is one body with her? For he says the two become one flesh, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Verses 18 through 20, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Verse 20, for you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. We have some responsibilities to God as Christians. Some of those responsibilities are from this reading. First, remember who owns your body, who owns my body. God owns your body. Are you a Christian this morning? God owns you. We're not supposed to just be going out and doing whatever we feel like, giving in to temptation. God owns us. We need to start living like that. Understand that before we sin, remember, God owns our body. Remember how it was purchased, how that we even can be God's children, how we can have salvation, how we can have a home in heaven. It's because Jesus Christ died and shed his blood. Brethren, I know that if I would personally think about that more, it'd be much easier not to sin. Think about that. Before you want to give in to some temptation, remember what had to happen just for your soul to be cleansed. Blood, the Son of God's blood. So that reminds me, and I hope that it reminds you, stop being so selfish with your body, with your actions, with your thoughts, with your heart. We've been redeemed by a loving God and a Savior willing to give His life for us. We have to stop being so selfish with our vessels. We need to give ourselves more to God. After saying all that, act accordingly. We need to make sure to set ourselves apart from the world and start honoring God. One final thing for you to think about this morning. If I were to ask you and you were to answer in your own mind, could you currently proclaim that your vessels, your bodies, physical bodies, are sanctified for God? Could you say that? Is your heart as pure as you want it to be? Just a few quick questions before we conclude our lesson this morning. Are we desensitized from sin in our lives? Have we watched too much television, too much news, too much of everything from this culture? Do we even see when sinful things happen in movies? Or I didn't even see that. I'm sorry. Did you hear that foul word? No, I'm sorry. I didn't even hear that. Why? Because we just become like the world. We become desensitized to sin. And that means our heart follows. And we're not being very pure for God. Are we dressing like the world? What are your standards, male or female, for how you dress? Is it whatever we see on TV, whatever the hottest trend is? Or is it what God says? Are you dressing in any way that could attract the opposite sex on purpose? You may not think that you are, but consider the flesh that you show. Consider in the way that you can dress provocative in front of the opposite sex. Think about it. Who cares if it's cool and if in the stores and everybody's wearing it? I don't care. God doesn't care. He doesn't care about trends. He cares about you honoring Him, having a pure heart. Parents, individuals, let's watch the way that we dress. Let's watch the way that we are presented in front of other people. How do we talk? Are we talking like the world? Are we actually set apart? Is our language, the words, is that set apart? Does it look different from people outside of the church? Because if it's not, you're not being set apart. You're not setting yourself apart from sin in the world. Finally, are we raising a generation of children to care much more about their rites of passage instead of the Word of God? Quickly, here's what I mean by that. I've seen parent after parent give in to their children's desire that they have to do this because it's what my friends are doing. Or we feel like we have to let children do certain things because that's just what children do. And we're going to be horrible parents if we make them miss out on something all the other kids are doing, are involved in. We have to let them dress in a certain way. I've seen godly children, teenagers, dressed in a certain way in certain sports such as volleyball, cheerleading. There's hardly anything left to be desired. And why do we, parents, Christian parents, allow them to dress in a certain way? Well, because we would be taking something away from them if we don't allow them to dress like everybody else and allow them to be involved in everything else. What about dances and proms? Well, we can't say no. I mean, all their friends are going to be there. Who cares? We should care more about raising up a new generation of those that put God first. Just consider for a moment that it might not be a good idea to have our children dancing on one another, wearing dresses that are revealing to the opposite sex. Consider God's word instead of rites of passage and thinking they have to be involved in certain things. Do we have a pure heart? Are we trying to excel even more than where we're at right now? This has been the call from Proverbs 4 all month long to remain pure in heart, in speech, in mind, in all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "As you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you may excel." We need to excel. We need to grow, brethren. Finally, verse 7 and 8. "For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Consequently, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you." This morning, are you a Christian? Grow in your purity. If you're not yet a Christian, don't reject the word of God. God sent his Son for you. All things are ready for you. Will you obey him and be baptized this morning? If we can help you with any spiritual need, please let us know as we stand and sing.